This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation. Time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's himself, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. A little behind the scenes, we're all talking about having a weight loss contest here.
Yeah, you want in on this, Lucius? Thinking about starting Friday until the Monday before Thanksgiving, about a 3.5 week run.
See how much who can lose the most or whatever?
Yeah. Thinking about a weigh-in Friday.
Okay. Who works out the most?
You do.
Yeah, you do, Lucius.
Okay, who works out? I asked that wrong question. who doesn't work out at all?
The least, me.
The least, probably me.
I walk.
I walk, yeah.
That's all it. I do is walk. I don't maybe lift me. Any weights.
You don't lift any? Do you watch what you eat and everything?
I will now because I'm in a weight contest.
He's going to lose the most.
Yeah.
Some guys that shocked the body that get the most results.
See, that means I can't.
I've done this before.
Yeah.
No, I kind of know how this goes.
Yeah.
So that's our gloves getting shocked.
Yeah. I like the idea, though.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. That's good.
I got 6 to drop, so it give me some motivation.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Be fun.
I got to shake that fare off of me.
Yeah, it's no Friday.
Yeah.
So no Friday chili dogs and stuff like that. Are we done with that?
It's not to say that you can't still pick your spots.
Yeah, you always get a cheat day.
Okay. I'll still bring food on Fridays then.
Yeah, you should.
But this Friday, I'm
sabotage.
Out.
Sabotage. He's going to sabotage.
Exactly. Go ahead and sabotage.
That's sabotage.
He's going to fatten him up.
Get Chia Follow's mom to make
those. Put some gravy on there, boys. And I cooked it in some little bacon grease and put some butter on there for you, boys. Tell me how you like it.
No, I ate some at home. I'm
cholesterol
good. I don't
just anything. Screaming.
Already had mine.
Extra butter.
Yeah, don't worry about me. I've already eaten already. Yeah. Lucia, that's actually really good. Good job. All right, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Got the questions for you here today. Tuesdays, I like to ask some questions. Wednesdays and Thursdays, we talk about the opponent. But today, I'm going to ask you these questions. Do you expect changes at safety this week after the 49ers game?
Yes, I do expect changes. I'm still blown away at the Mike Zimmer plan of having Donovan Wilson be the guy that you want covering George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day. I thought that was ridiculous, and they just kept going back to it. It was way late in the game before they started to change things up. But yeah, I don't know how you can watch that game and not feel that way. I think you're playing with basically the two worst safeties according to Pro Football Focus. I think you Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson are considered basically the two worst safeties in the league. And you have younger Wanya Thomas, younger Marquise Bell, guys that like they're good enough to not be the worst in the league. Like your two guys are right now,
Wooly.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, that's what we'd heard about Zim, right? If you're not getting it done, then he's going to put somebody else in there. So I don't expect Malik Hooker to not be out there, but I think you could see a change with Donovan Wilson.
100%. I think Malik Hooker isn't great either, but, he's smarter. He's been kind of tough in the running game. And I just think Donovan Wilson is the exact kind of player that if you bring in Mike Zimmer has to go. And, it was only because of his contract situation that they aren't moving on from him sooner. But this seals his fate. He'll be elsewhere next year.
Yeah, the way they flipped it into the game is they brought Wanya Thomas in over Bell is what they did. And I wonder if they did it just because of the coverage aspect that they think that maybe that they're not totally comfortable with Bell being a cover guy. Comfortable with him playing down. We saw how well he plays in the box.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How many tackles he can make. That's
for sure.
That's a positive. But I think they put Wanya Thomas in this mix now because, and I guarantee I'm going to watch this Atlanta film, and Atlanta and Kirk Cousins, they're going to attack. They attack the middle of the field with their tight end with Pitts and these other receivers. I think London on the outside is more of a vertical player, down the field type guy. But I guarantee that we'll probably see some type of switch this week at that safety spot. Wooly.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something you'd absolutely do to help this team that they most likely wouldn't do.
Ooh, I'd be trying to trade for defensive linemen, and I don't think that they're going to make any trades.
That's
what
I'm saying. They're probably not going to do this,
I'd
but
be,
something you would do that they absolutely will not do.
I mean, I could say just make a trade in general, because for me, they have at least done some trades when it comes to Brandon Cooks, Stephon Gilmore. You can go back to Jonathan Hankins. They don't really do anything in free agency. So if I'm able to make a trade and I've got a bunch of comp picks that I'm about to get in here, it's just unrealistic to expect that the draft every single year is going to be enough. You've got to replenish your roster in some other form. So if you get a guy that's under control for more than just, say, this year, I would love to still add somebody, even if you don't think this team's going anywhere. That's totally fine. I've still got him for the foreseeable future.
A lot of ways you could go this on the micro level, individual examples. I would just say overarching, the thing that they need would be to get a new GM in here. Mm-hmm. You know, so that would be my thing. A real GM, preferably that knows the Shanahan family well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean that you can't really beat that. I was gonna say, could you find a way to snap your fingers and change the playbook the same way you did last year? But I don't see that happening either.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm at the point now where it's just play all your younger guys.
You're already playing young guys though because of all the injuries, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're already doing that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess for the most part, but like Rico Dowdle probably should be your running back,
sure.
Or even Deuce Vaughn over just running out Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
But it's tough, man. There's so many issues. How would you answer that question?
I would trade out Mike McCarthy as a play caller.
Yeah.
That's something I would do. I would give Brian Schottenheimer a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and where Brian Schottenheimer's been before, they've been able to run the ball, and maybe that's been because of some scheme, or maybe the way he kind of gets into in and out of his plays. I don't trust this play caller anymore. I really don't. He's too inconsistent for me when it comes to how, like, you look terrible, and then you feel like you made a couple adjustments, you look good, and then you look terrible again. There's no rhyme or reason really with his play calling. You know, I just don't see it, and it's something I know they won't do, but I'd absolutely love just to see Brian Schottenheimer call plays and see if that can make a difference. You know, if not, they're all going to be gone anyway.
Mm-hmm. They should absolutely be trying different things.
Yeah.
You have to know how big of an issue is a Mike McCarthy. How big of an issue is Anthony Richardson if you're the Colts, and it's, yeah, you know, trial by error.
Yeah. Dawson.
Yeah.
This offense needs Brandon Cooks back in the worst way.
I would say no. You know, I think Brandon Cooks is washed, and he joined the other below average wide receivers in this room outside of CeeDee Lamb.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah. Brandon Cooks isn't fixing much here. They don't really know how to get the most out of him anyways. The thing that they need, how did you describe that?
In the worst way.
In the worst way, yeah. they need a new offense.
Okay.
I think they do need him back. I mean, I still think he's a good receiver. Now, he might have been hampered because of the injury a little bit, but the big thing is, how are they going to utilize him? And they're, to me, just not being utilized really well. But you need him because, I mean, you just saw against the Niners. How many other threats do you have? Maybe that ball's going to Brandon Cooks. It's not going to Kevontae Turpin. That'll help you.
Chieftain,
mm-hmm.
Was this just a one-off for Dalvin Cook?
I could see that being the case for sure, because they're not going to sit Zeke, and I think they just saw that Rico, I mean, you should have already been seeing this, but Rico's clearly your best back. So I could see maybe one more opportunity for Cook, but I don't expect to see him much more.
How about you there, Wooly? Is this a one-off for Dalvin Cook?
I'm kind of scared and think it is, but I'm going to say no. I think they're still going to give him another chance. The problem is, what they're going to end up needing to do is probably make Ezekiel Elliott inactive at some point, and I don't believe that they want to do that, in which case they would sacrifice Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I think it makes no sense. I think Dalvin Cook showed enough in the game, not maybe in his stat line. What was it, 6 carries for 12 yards? It was a bad stat line, but yeah, watching him run the ball, he seems like a more credible threat than everybody in that running back room, except for Rico Dowdle. But I think unless you have an injury or an illness, I think, you know, the decision makers over there favor the other guys a lot more. And I hate to say it, but again, it's sometimes it's about more about who you're friends with over there
for getting contracts, for getting, you know, snaps, than how good you are. And it's unbelievable. I can't believe how normalized it is. But that's just like, yeah, of course, you know, that's going to happen. That has room for no margin of error on a championship team with championship culture. Anybody sees that, and it's such an eyesore. It's like, oh my God, that happened on this team. We're not committed to winning. I don't have to see anything else. I don't have to look up the 30 years of history. This is happening. Everybody on that team gets less competitive as a result of seeing just how that whole process happens. And then once you realize it's normalized and it's happening in other places, no wonder you don't have a good culture. You have no morale. You know, how could you possibly look any decision maker in the eye and respect them? You don't respect the Joneses because they don't know football well enough. You don't respect the coaches because they won't stand up to the horrible leadership above them. You know, they just capitulate and get cucked right there in their own press conferences.
It's one of the worst places to have that happen.
Yeah, it is, dude.
Cameras, yeah. Reporters.
Yeah, Jerry's
that's
the daddy.
Viral. Yeah, that's on film. Yeah.
Viral cucking is the worst kind of cucking.
Can't even run the team the way you want to as a head coach in the NFL. And Mike, he turned yellow about what, halfway into his first season? After he was like, oh, wow, it really is like this. I better go back to being cool so I can keep this job for 5 years.
Yeah, I think the intention was, before like Saturday night, I think the idea was to play Dalvin Cook and have others inactive. I could say there's a lot of questions about really if Rico Dowdle was sick or not. I think the intent was that they were going to play Dalvin Cook. I think they're going to give Dalvin Cook another chance. I don't think this is a one-off thing at all. I think they're going to give him another chance. Okay, my final question for you guys real quick, if I can. Were you encouraged by what you saw from Tyler Guyton at all?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I thought Tyler Guyton actually played pretty well for the most part. I mean, I think that he's growing. I thought it was much better than the previous outing that he had. Sure. So, I mean, that's something that's really what I care about. How are Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton developing along that offensive line? I thought Beebe was good again. Mm-hmm. Keep it going with Tyler Guyton. I think he was taking steps in the right direction.
Chief?
Yeah, agreed. There's still some issue. I feel like he gets beat inside plenty.
Sure.
Not
strong enough there right now.
Yeah, he needs that strength.
But there's a competitive spirit to him that I appreciate. And he was like the 10th best tackle of the week, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
So he was not the glaring issue that other dudes were, especially Terrence Steele on the offensive line.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, he needed a game like that to get momentum heading in the back right direction, and hopefully he builds on this.
Yeah, I think so too. That they helped him with some double team stuff and kind of that's what you got to do. But his footwork, his hands, body position far better than it's been in the previous week. So thank you guys. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Brian. Mark Schlereth in 1 hour. Ted Wind from The Athletic joins us next right here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll be talking football with you here on 105.3 The Fan.